Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to Talk About with Rez and Andy, live every Monday at 3 p.m. I'm your host, Linda Rez, and I'm here with my co-host and great friend, Janie Andy Anderson.
You know, it's against the law to kill an animal and by means of causing undue suffering, and that's any animal.
Welcome to Talk About with Rez and Andy. I am your host, Linda Rez. I'm here with my co-host, Janie Andy Anderson, and our special guest today, Nancy Hill. Nancy has over 30 years working with animal protection and control, and she is a past board member of the National Animal Control Center, and she's currently the regional director of what we call SCRAPS here, which is the Spokane County Regional Animal Protection Service, and she's here to talk to us today about animal cruelty and some of the laws that are being passed to curb that. And we're just happy to have you today, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. I was going to ask you, Nancy, this is a little off topic, but in the news today, it's been all over, the New York Times, the Huffington Post, everywhere. They've been reporting a story about a Danish radio station. The jockey there clubbed a rabbit to death during an animal welfare debate. His point was that, and I can't believe he even had a point to this, but the point was that we're hypocritical about the way we treat certain animals, livestock and whatnot, and then yet we protect other animals. But it just seemed to me that it was just so out there, such a heinous crime, you know, to do something like that, so mean, such a mean and vicious crime on the radio. I guess it's not a crime, though. Do you have any thoughts about this story?
Well, Washington State has some pretty strong animal cruelty laws, and I would venture if it happened here, and I don't know all the details, that it very well could be a crime. You know, it's against the law to kill an animal and by means of causing undue suffering, and that's any animal. That's just not a dog or a cat, at least in Washington State.
Now, okay, Nancy, you
sense.
Will see. I mean, it's so interesting now the past few years how people are getting involved. The public will not put up with that.
No, you are absolutely right. I mean, I've been at Scraps a number of years now, and we get more and more animal cruelty complaints, much more than we used to have. And I doubt it's that animals, you know, people are being more cruel than they used to be. It's just the public is demanding that we treat animals better.
Yeah. So what do you think about the point that he was bringing up? Do you think that we treat certain animals worse, or are all animals? You said that if it was a cruel death, then that would be most likely a crime. But do we protect livestock like we do domestic animals? Or, well, they're domestic, but, you know, like we do our pets.
Well, I think some people will say there's a different standard. Here at Scraps, we go out on a lot of large animal investigations, people that get horses or keep cattle or even other farm animals such as pigs that aren't treating them decently. Last fall, we did a search warrant on a rural Spokane property and seized 149 farm animals that weren't being kept properly. So we take those kind of complaints very seriously here, and I hope it's a trend towards treating our animals better.
Well, you've been doing this for 30 years, involved on the national scene and the local scene. What kinds of things have you seen in your 30 years?
Oh, I've seen way too much. I've seen anything from puppy mills to people starving horses to felony dog fighting, and to, you know, people torturing animals, you know, just something really horrific.
Well, I've heard that the one of the tests for a sociopathic behavior, of a sociopath, is the tendency to want to torture animals. Do you kind of see that? I mean, is that the way that the law is starting to look at it now? Maybe that's why they're coming down harder, is because they're thinking, if a person's willing to torture an animal, what are they going to do to other human beings?
Yes, and historically, I mean, we've had mass murderers that start out as, you know, animal abusers as a child, and we've had some prosecution here of juveniles that have, you know, not been kind to animals. And I think it is taken seriously because it, you know, it sets a pattern that may continue into adulthood and, you know, transfer from animals, you know, to humans, which is, you know, a real concern.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, on the neglect factor, I'm going to hit both on abuse and neglect. Do you find the some of the people that, I don't know if you call them hoarders or what have you, but on the neglect side, is it financial that they do not have the money to feed some of these animals? Or what's the situation with these people?
Well, sometimes I think it's actually a combination. Hoarding is now a recognized psychological disorder because it is a form of mental illness. And I sometimes we'll call it the love it to death syndrome because people that get into these hoarding activities, that get over their head financially, get over their head in even simply having enough hours in the day to provide care to that many animals, but they don't see that they're doing anything wrong. And it really is a mental disorder. And then on top of that, it's a resource issue. The more animals you have, the more resources it takes, whether it's time, you know, or money to buy food and veterinary medical care.
So yeah. Their heart's in the right place. They just
their heart is in the right place, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I have adopted a few cats from hoarding cases, and they're here in Spokane. And there is one, there were about 86 cats, and they had to pull them out. And a lot of them had to be euthanized when they were pulled out.
Yes, and that's a very sad thing because, you know, groups like us want to go in and we want to help animals, and we get these animals in hoarding situations that are harboring very highly contagious diseases, and some of them are affected, especially like distemper in cats, which is highly contagious and causes some real neurological issues. There is no second chance for these animals. You know, they're already contracted what is potentially a fatal disease, and we just can't take the risk of it spreading. So it's probably a more humane ending than living the life they were living, but it's not the outcome we want to see.
Now, how hard is it for you not to take some of these animals home when you see the need, when you see, you know, the shelter full of cats or full of dogs?
Well, it is hard, and I've told staff here over many years now that in order to be successful in this line of work, you've got to be realistic, you've got to be practical, and you've got to celebrate your successes because it's a tough field to be in, and we want to take them home. Most of us have regulators in our family unit that won't allow that, but because we don't want to become the hoarder.
That's right.
But it is hard because you know we want to save them all, but realistically we can't. Some are beyond saving, but at least you know we can give them a humane death with dignity.
But you do have one dog you adopted, correct?
I do. I have a dog that I adopted at 5 weeks. Her mother was hit by a car and left a litter of 10 puppies that needed an extra bit of TLC, and the cuteness factor overwhelmed me and my regulators.
Well, Nancy, we've been
only
out
one,
to your
though.
Facility many times, and you run a real good show. Linda and I wanted to do this show because we were so pleased with the governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee, signed into law a measure making it a civil offense to leave an animal in a car or an enclosed space that would endanger this animal, be it extreme heat or cold. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, good for him.
You have got to be pleased. We are all so pleased.
And Nancy, can you tell us about that, especially like what the temperatures might be in a car and then what the level of criminal activity, what would the level of the crime be?
Well, it's interesting because this is kind of a mid-step to laws that we've already had in place. And I think it's going to help us send the strong message to people that they need to leave their pet at home when, you know, the temperatures are even moderately warm, because we all know we've been to the grocery store, we've gotten in our car when we're leaving, the windows have been up or mostly up, and you get in and it feels like an oven. Well, you cannot leave an animal in that situation. It's very dangerous. Animals are much more susceptible to heat exhaustion than we are because they don't sweat.
Mm-hmm. So when we see this, Nancy, then what's the best step to take?
Well, we're asking folks to call us because it can get critical in a very short period of time. And people, you know, say it's not that hot. But again, the only time I've ever been out in the field and took a dog out of a car where it actually died from heat exhaustion, it was 65 degrees that day. But wow. The car was parked in direct sun, and the dog was in there for an extended period of time, and the dog, you know, expired from the heat. I mean, it's critical that people call us soon, and especially, you know, on the warmer days is when they see it. And it's a very high priority call for our animal protection officers, and they're going to respond as quickly as possible. The new law will give us several tools. Sometimes we're going to get there and the owner's just coming out and maybe the dog's okay, it's a little warm. That civil infraction step that the governor added will kind of send a strong message to these owners that they're making bad decisions and putting their animals at risk. Now, there's been laws already on the books, misdemeanor, confinement in an unsafe manner, and then, of course, our first and second degree animal cruelty laws, which are either a gross misdemeanor or, in the case of a first degree animal cruelty, is actually a Class C felony. If it's grievous enough, you could be charged with a higher level crime, meaning that if the dog, you know, gosh forbid, passed away, you know, if there was some intent of leaving that dog in the car, that could actually be a felony. So there's a very, it's in levels of degrees of what people can be charged with, but the bottom line is they need to leave the pet at home.
Well, do other states have these laws, or is it just Washington?
Other states have them to varying degrees. I don't think any are quite like ours. It's interesting because I talked to a colleague in the Phoenix area, and I'm thinking, okay, it gets 120 degrees there. Right. They probably get these calls all the time and are running around town like crazy. And they said, we don't get that many because here people respect the heat and they realize they shouldn't do it. So it's kind of unusual that it's almost more temperate climates where it becomes more of an issue because people don't have that idea in their head that it gets that hot here.
Well, I was looking at this chart, and for instance, a lot of times our weather here is about 70, 75 degrees. And I'm looking at this chart, and it says 70 degrees is the outside temperature. And then after 10 minutes, it goes up to 89, and 20 minutes, 99. And then after an hour, it's up to 115 in the car.
Yeah, and that's very, very hot.
70-degree day, yeah.
On a 70-degree day. And that's exactly the point that we need to make to pet owners, particularly dog owners. They're the most people, mostly it's dogs we see in cars. Every once in a while it's something else. But they don't realize that even on a day of 70 degrees that it can get that hot that quickly. We took a dog the other day out of a car, I believe it was at the mall, and according to passerbys that stood by, there's some wonderful folks out there that wait for us and keep an eye on things. And when we took the dog out of the car, it had been in 45 minutes, and I believe it was 107 degrees in the car.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And you know, you can't find people at a mall. It's just too hard. You know, they don't have paging systems. We always try to find right. The owner if it's a store of that you can, you know, actually have someone paged, but it wasn't that hot that day. It was about 70, and here it's 107 in the car after 45 minutes.
Nancy, years ago, a couple of years ago, I was at a golf course, a local golf course, and it was a hot day, and someone did indeed leave their dog in the car. And we did call you guys, and you came soon, but there were other people. We were very close to breaking the windows. And now with this new law, any kind of property damage, there's no liability to a person who would take this action?
Well, it's more designed for liability for an animal control officer or law enforcement officer or some other agency that's contracted to, you know, enforce these laws. It's
okay.
Not a Good Sam law.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But still, if you saw a dog in a car and it looked like it was, you know, critical, should somebody, or can you even answer that question? I mean, is it just a moral decision you have to make, I guess?
That's a moral decision. You know, I would certainly want to be able to articulate it was exigent circumstances and that there was no other remedy. But again, I couldn't advise someone to do that. Okay. I always tell people, call Scraps. We will get there as soon as we can. Keep an eye on the situation. Keep us updated. In a few situations where we've known it's been critical and our ETA has not been as short as we would like, we've called law enforcement and the police officer has responded. And you know, they're really good about that because they care about animals too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it can become very critical very quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, in your time doing this, have you seen more good than bad in some ways? Just the level of people that come out and adopt these animals or that show up to take care of these big cases and donate their time and effort and that kind of thing. I mean, does that help you with balancing at all?
It does. I mean, since we moved to our new building, what's been almost a year now, our volunteers numbers have grown from about 200 active volunteers to well over 600. And it is just amazing. Volunteers are here doing everything from greeting people at our kiosk when they come in, to going to outreach events with animals for adoption, doing humane education to groups and classrooms, dog walking, cat socializing, the list goes on. I mean, there's so many different options to choose from, and what a way to give back to the community. And then, of course, the adoptions. Again, when we moved to our new facility, the next month, animals were just flying off the shelves, literally. Wow. People were adopting and adopting and adopting, and that trend is continuing. People are thinking, if I'm going to get a pet, let me save a shelter animal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I think is so neat now, Nancy, just following again social media and talking to people. Linda and I are, of course, both animal lovers, but a lot of people are taking the older dogs or the older cats now, or the ones that might have some physical, ailment. And I think that's really, really neat.
Yes, it is. I mean, having people come in and select the senior animal where they know they're going to have to immediately get the dog or cat a dental, or it's going to need some extra TLC as it goes into its golden years, and they're happy. They're purposely picking the senior animal because they know that they're often passed by and they want to make a difference, and it's really heartwarming to see folks doing that.
Now, I do have to ask you, because I had always heard, for the dogs, the hardest dogs to get adopted or rehomed are the black dogs. Is that still correct?
That is correct, and that's a national statistic, whether it be a black dog or a black cat. And my dog is actually a black dog.
There you go.
And I can see why, because, I mean, I guess the thought behind it is they don't show very well. You can't see the features, especially through caging. Depending on the lighting. I know if I want to take a picture of my black dog being out in full sun, even then it's still hard to get her beautiful features and eyes. So I think that's one of the reasons that they're overlooked. They just don't show well in the shelter, and people, go to the next cage where there's, it's easier to see their faces and their features.
Oh, that's sad. Now, especially if it's a little dark. But I guess now I have a question, too, that kind of follows up on that, which dogs do you see the most of? I would guess pit bulls, but I don't know.
Pit bulls, we have a lot of pit bulls, and they're can be a wonderful breed of dog when they're well socialized and cared for. Sometimes we have people attracted to the breed for the wrong reasons and aren't, teaching them their basic obedience. And so we have a lot of pit bull mixes, a lot of lab mixes, a lot of shepherd mixes. We used to have almost mostly large breed dogs, but now all of a sudden in the last few years we're getting like more Chihuahuas and some of the smaller breeds. So at any given day we actually have a real mix of animals here, and it's kind of fun because then there's a selection, and then you can find the type of dog that will best suit your household. And of course there's nothing like a mixed breed.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
They're stronger in a lot of ways. Genetically.
You're absolutely right. They don't have a lot of the same health issues that a purebred dog. A purebred dog is bred for certain kinds of appearance, and sometimes, in the breeding line, they can get some health characteristics that are problematic. But if you get a mixed breed, hopefully you're getting the best of everything.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, what's a good way if people want to, if listeners want to join in? It sounds like there's a lot of things that they could volunteer for, and they probably don't have to have, you know, 8 hours a day. It sounds like there's enough things that they could probably volunteer during when it's convenient for their schedule.
Exactly. We don't require any set amount of time. We have some volunteers that just volunteer once a year at our annual auction and fundraiser. So people can give as much or as little time as they want. They can do things outside the shelter. They can come in the shelter. Typically, we have a volunteer orientation the second Saturday of every month, and there's information on our website. But the job descriptions are available for folks to look at and to see what they would be interested in and find out, you know, what fits them.
Mm-hmm. And then can they donate money at the SpokaneCounty.org/scraps page?
Yes, you can go there, or you can go to our Scraps Hope Foundation page. And either way, you can give a charitable donation. Our donor dollars go a long ways, particularly for our animal medical fund. We are the only shelter in the community that houses the stray and homeless animals. So, you know, we have these poor pets that are found wandering on the street and need some special TLC. Some are damaged and broken from, you know, being in some kind of a car accident or just neglected and need that extra boost with some care from a veterinarian. So our funds cover that. Also, donor dollars help pay for our animal transport program. Right now in the Spokane area, we have a bit of a pet overpopulation problem, and we can't really adopt our way out of that. We adopt a lot of animals here, but those that we don't, we transfer to the Seattle area and other rescue partners, where they can be adopted there. So donor dollars pay for the transport program and enrichment of shelter animals, our temperament testing, our free dog training classes, our resources on animal behavior. I mean, a donor dollar goes a long ways here at Scraps.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, as we finish up our interview, is there any last thing you'd like to say to listeners about summer and pets? And we have, you know, listeners listening all over the nation. I'm sure these are the same problems that everybody faces, no matter where you are, from California to Maine. But what would you like to say as a last thought?
Well, I think for summer safety with pets, there's three key things. One, we've talked about, don't take your pet with you to the store and leave it in the car. It's just too hot. And that's throughout most of our country. It's just not a good decision. Secondly, when you're out and about, especially with your dog, keep it on a leash. We have all kinds of dogs running loose on trails where they shouldn't be, in parks where they shouldn't be. They need to be on a leash, and it's for the public safety and for the pet safety. And finally, put identification on your pet. Pets get scared by summer thunderstorms, 4th of July. If licensing is required in your area, put the pet license on. If the license isn't required, then get an ID tag and get that microchip so that if the tag is lost, you have a backstop. And that way your pet can quickly be returned home to you.
Makes Smart. A huge difference.
If you love your pet, do these things. This has been Nancy Hill. Nancy, thank you so much. You're the Regional Director for Spokane County Regional Animal Protection Service, what we call Scraps. It's much easier just to call it Scraps, though nobody probably knows what that really means because we've said it for so long. We just say Scraps. And thank you so much for what you do. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for what you're doing for animals.
Nancy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Talk About with Rez and Andy, live every Monday at 3 p.m. Please join us next week for another great show. And please call in and share your thoughts and opinions. Also, look for us and like us on Facebook and Twitter, and follow our show page on BTR.